what is relevant in our lives, which is the gospel and those things pertaining to Jesus Christ, and all the while looking up to heaven, where Christ will return to catch us out of this present evil world. We thank you for this time and opportunity, and I pray that you grant me the grace to preach your truth so it can be seen and understood by all those that are here. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we've used this verse for the past few weeks starting off because I want to talk to you about God which worketh in you. So in Philippians 2, verse 12, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So Paul, writing to the Philippians, told them that, you know, he's going to be absent from them. He's leaving Philippi. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't say work for your salvation. He says work out your salvation. So they had salvation. Then he says in verse 13, "For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So it's God that works in us today. And what I've been trying to convey based on this is, if God is working in us, it would do us good to know who this God is, know some things about him. Because just because you've trusted in Christ, put your faith in the gospel, doesn't mean that you all of a sudden know God. You have to learn about this God. You have to be instructed and taught about him. So I've been covering some things here about God working in you and knowing him. And this will continue for a few weeks yet. But we're going to go ahead with this message on God working in you. Now, in so doing, turn to Isaiah and look back in Isaiah and look in chapter 29. In Isaiah 29, look in verse 11. In Isaiah 29, verse 11, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which when men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." The vision has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. In other words, the writing of Isaiah and the revelation thereof was delivered to Isaiah through a vision and then conveyed to Israel, and Israel's ears were hardened. They had gone after gods, and so he likened it to a book that was sealed, the vision, that is, and to give it to one that's learned, that could read it, to them, and the one that's learned said, how can I read it? The book is sealed. The vision is very important in your Bible. Look in Proverbs. Hang a left from Isaiah there. Go over to Proverbs. Go to chapter 29. Proverbs 29. Look in verse 18. Proverbs 29, 18. Says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Where there is no vision, the people perish. And you think about Israel and the times they went through, and there was either no vision or the vision given unto them, they couldn't comprehend it because they had fallen away from God. And then the writer here in Proverbs, Solomon, says, Where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you realize from Malachi to the coming of Jesus Christ was 400 years? And there wasn't one prophet sent to Israel. God just let them languish in the nations and not ever give them a prophet to preach the truth unto them, and they perished in it. When Israel hardened their hearts and their ears, stopped up their ears, and went after false gods, the vision was unto them like a book that is sealed. They couldn't comprehend it. They rejected the preaching of the prophets. And vision is very important. Now, it's interesting to note that God, and I'm going to use this word because it's about the only word I can use, is telepathically from his throne in heaven sends down the vision to the writer, to the prophet, to the king, to the apostle. And they receive that vision and convey it. Now, it's going to sound a little comical, but it's true. This turns, I can't do it without a smile or a laugh, but this turns out to be television. You know, we think that we're cool and we, you know, U.S. invented television and all. No, it goes back to when God was given revelation to the writers, telepathically giving them the vision. Well, I can tell you, Israel went to a point where the station was off the air. They weren't getting the vision. It's important to get the vision. Now, with that said, go back to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And look in Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretches out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Y'all hear, it's nothing new, but it's sort of resurged itself. They have what we call now the Flat Earth Society, and they are sold on the fact that the earth is flat and not round. I'm serious. I'm like, and these are some people that are supposedly grace people. Just saying. The circle of the earth. By the way, when Christopher Columbus sailed, the thought in the religion of that time was the earth was flat. I don't remember all the history of Christopher Columbus because that was a long time ago. I think I was in high school in 1492. Forgot a lot of that. But anyhow, they had been sailing for a number of months, and they were on the verge of tossing this man overboard, mutiny, and going back because they thought since they hadn't found land, they were going to fall off the earth because that's the teaching, flat earth. History bears out the fact that Columbus believed the Bible. He believed Isaiah, the circle of the earth. So he knew the earth was round. We know the earth is round. Don't need satellites and all. We know it by the word of God. And he stretched out the heavens. So out from the earth, or the heavens. Now, we're going to let this X represent Jesus Christ coming into this world. The cross, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. The dispensation of grace. Here, 7 years. Trib, the second coming of Christ. Here, 1,000 years. The kingdom. Then, and I won't spend much time on this, the destruction of it all. The devil's loosed here. The Lord destroys him and the people that follow him, blah, blah, blah. And you go on into a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to look at that in just a minute. Now, Look in 2 Kings. Turn back to 2 Kings, chapter 23. In 2 Kings, chapter 23. The king of Israel at this time is a man named Josiah. The previous king was Manasseh. Manasseh was a corrupt king. Now, what do I mean by corrupt? He smoked, went to casino. No. He was corrupt in that he took the children of Israel and incorporated the gods of the nations to Israel. He took the priests that were for the Lord's sake and made them priests of Baal. He built altars to these gods. He built the groves to the gods. And he had Israel go directly into idolatry. Hence, Manasseh did that which was wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Along comes the next king, Josiah. So we're going to read what Josiah did in his time. Verse 4. 1 Kings 23, verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order. Isn't that interesting? You think there was structure? The second order. And the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priest. Now what does it mean he put down? Well, he killed them. Whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. Isn't that interesting? And it says Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. So what we see here is that above the earth, you have the heavens. What is it consisted of? Suns, moons, planets, stars, and the host of heaven. The host of heaven is not a planet, moon, star, sun. It is the devil and his angels that rebelled against the Lord. And where are they? They're out in the heavens. How in the world can man, who at that time did not have a telescope, see these planets? For instance, you find Mars in your Bible. We have a planet named Mars. Did you know that Mars, in the Roman mythology, was the god of war? We have Jupiter. Jupiter's in your Bible. Now, how do you see Jupiter? How can anybody here, without the aid of a telescope, see Jupiter? How do you know it's out there? It's just a light twinkle if you can see it with your bare eye. But they knew it. They're worshiping the planets because the host of heaven comes down here and taught man about the planets and to worship them. Jupiter is called the father of helps. In Roman mythology, Jupiter was the god. In Greek mythology, the same god of the Greeks was Zeus. It's the same word, same god, but different. Jupiter. There's another one in your Bible called Mercurius. There's a planet called Mercury. Where do you think the name Mercury came from? Mercurius. Mercurius was the messenger. If you've ever seen a statue or a picture of him, he's the guy with the little leaves of the bandana looking thing. He usually has some kind of spear or shaft or shepherd's pole or something like that in his hand. And he has the wings on his ankles. He's bringing the message. All of this has been worshipped. You had Saturn. According to the mythology, Saturn was the god of agriculture. You had the sun god. Josiah said they worship in Baal, the planets, the moon, the sun, and the host of heaven. The sun god was Apollos. All of these factor in from the host of heaven who taught the men of earth about these things. And Israel, without fail, went and worshiped these gods. They worshiped the planets, the stars, the sun. We read in Acts, I think it's chapter 7, where Stephen said that Israel went after the star of Remphan. So the stars are involved. All of that in the heavens. There's nothing good out there. NASA keeps playing around. They're going to find something. They're going to find something. There's nothing good up there. So Josiah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He took all the groves and all the statues and all the altars, and he gathered them out into, I think it was Kidron it said, and he burned them out there. Then he took the priest. He didn't reform them. What did he do? Put them down. He killed them. Now, from there, watch where we go. We're going to read a number of passages in Psalm. So turn to Psalm. Turn to the 8th Psalm. And watch in these verses that we're going to read, watch and see what connects with each verse. In Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Look in Psalm 57. Psalm 57. And in Psalm 57, look in verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Look in verse 11. Once again, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth. Look in Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Look in verse 4. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. And you may want to make a note of that in your Bible. Thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. Psalm 113. Verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Look in Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verse 4. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Now, what connection did all these verses have? The glory of God is above what? The heavens. So you'll go into a tier above the heavens where the glory of God is. Above the heavens. The heavens are corrupted. That's where the devil and his angels are, and they brought that pagan religion down to man, and man worships and serves and praises those pagan things. But God is above the heavens. Now, in Psalm 148 that we read, note again in verse 4, "Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." Do you know what's out past the heavens besides the glory of God? There's some water up there. And as good as Hubble is, it ain't seen it. It's not gonna see it because it's so far out. But there's waters up out there according to that verse. Watch what is interesting about this. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. You guys want to learn or you want me to talk about the LSU game? Revelation 22. Want to learn the word of truth, or I guess we could have sang the whole hour. So Revelation 22, there's waters up there. Now what we're going to read, it's not during the ministry of Christ. What we're going to read, it's not in the age of grace. What we're going to read is not during this tribulation, 7 years, well, actually 3.5, but it's not this time. What we're going to read is not this 1,000-year reign of Christ in the kingdom. What we're going to read pertains to this time out here in the earth. I know it's way out there. It doesn't really concern us, but I want to show you how this Bible is interwoven and how things are connected through it over many thousands of years. Revelation 22. Verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God." Where's the glory of God? It's above the heavens. "And of the Lamb." Why, then Christ is going to have some throne here on this earth. "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of" what? "The nations." There's going to be a river. It's going to run down into the earth. And there's going to be a tree that's going to draw its water from this pure crystal river. And consequently, that tree is going to bear 12 manner of fruit every month. So every month, the children of Israel will have to go there and eat the fruit that is prescribed to their tribe, and then the leaves, the nations will come there every month and eat the leaves for their healing. Now that's what it says. This river is going to run out of from the throne of God. Well, guess what? Psalm 148 told us there's water up there, so it shouldn't be a shock where it's coming from. It's coming out. It's coming down to this world, and it's going to give life. It's called, guess what? The river of life. You know what it's likened unto? An umbilical cord. The umbilical cord from the mother to the child supplies everything that child needs to grow and develop. If that child is in there and you went in there and snipped that cord, what would happen? Okay. So what you're going to have is a river flowing out from the throne of God. The heavens have been cleaned. Why? Because the Lord has destroyed all of the enemies, the devil and all his angels. He cleans up heaven and he restores it back for his purpose and his use. You ever wonder, just think about this, why are there planets out there? Why put planets? Planets that right now are not inhabitable, because when he cleans this thing out, all of the billions and billions and trillions of planets out there are going to be habitable. He's going to clean the heavens out and restore it back for the purpose it was created for. And there's going to be a river that runs out of there and is coming through the heavens and is coming right down here, and it's going to supply life forevermore. There's waters up there, and that's what they're for. A connection there to the waters in heaven, to the river that's on this earth. It ain't there now. It's not there. Don't go looking for it. Now, we got the layout here. The earth, the heavens, and the glory of God. You ever wonder why, with the stars and the planets, it was presented as plural, heavens? It's interesting. Turn to 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, there are those now that say when you read or quote the verse, "rightly dividing the word of truth," that the word of truth is the gospel. I believe it is the gospel. However, I believe when he says the word of truth, it is that word that he received by revelation. You remember the psalm back there. Let me see if I got the right one. I think it's Psalm 113. Let's go back there real quick. No, I'm sorry, Psalm 108. Psalm 108, 108. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now watch this. Verse 4. "For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto" where? The earth? The clouds. Well, I know a little event that took place. I know an event in Acts chapter 9 when this man Saul was on the road to Damascus. The Lord appeared to him, brighter than the midday sun, and blinded him. And guess what Saul got at that point in time? He got the truth. Where was Christ? He was in the clouds. The birds that were created, guess where they fly? They fly in the heavens. So you have a tier of heaven, which is up to the clouds, then the heavens that have the planets, the stars, the sun, and the host of heaven. The Lord descended into the clouds and gave Paul the truth. He did get the gospel, but he got more than that. And by the way, he got it through visions. Remember the visions we were reading? He got it through the visions. Now, with that said, turn to John and look in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The reason why I believe that the truth, rightly dividing the word of truth, is the gospel, but I believe it's all of Paul's ministry, and I'll show you why. In John 17... Verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. So when he said rightly dividing the word of truth, you have to get the words that were delivered to Paul and divide them out from the other ministries. For instance, the biggest religion, which by the way comes from out here, because when Paul got to Mars Hill, he perceived the Athenians and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that you're too superstitious." The Greek word for superstitious is dogma. You know what dogma is? You look up the English translation of it, it's religion. What were they at Athens? They were caught up in idolatry, which is religion. And they didn't know God. They thought he had a strange God to present before them. And they definitely didn't know Jesus Christ. And so Paul, for us to know God and for us to know Jesus Christ, he tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's based upon the truth being delivered from the clouds to Paul in Acts chapter 9 and him receiving the visions which he fulfilled the word of God. And you have to rightly divide the word of truth so that you don't fall into idolatry. Oh, it goes under the banner of Christian, but it's idolatry. I looked up, there was an incident this week where it was a married couple up in Ohio or Illinois, I forgot where. You may have seen it on Fox News or whatever, where there was a break-in to the house and the girl was murdered and she was probably in her late 20s. It was a young couple and he's like 30, 31. And he was pastor of a church. I thought, God, that's awfully young to be a pastor. I know a thing or two about it. So anyhow, I look it up. I found the church. So I go to their website, and I went to the what we believe part for salvation and things of that nature. Well, it sounds good to the unlearned ear. I mean, we believe that all are sinners and that the way you get rid of the sin or get forgiveness of sin is through Jesus Christ. Spot on, but not complete on. Then it goes in that you repent of your sins, you turn from your sins, you invite Jesus into your heart, you make him the Lord and Savior of your life, and you get baptized to show that to everybody. And I'm thinking, if you don't know any better, what is the gospel there? What is the gospel? Where do you think that comes from? The heavens. It all connects. It all connects. The only way you can circumvent it is by taking Paul's writings and rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, folks, it's like this. Religion is like a telescope. And as far as it can see is into the heavens. That's as far as religion can see. It doesn't have the ability to see the glory of God which is above the what? Heavens. Rightly dividing the word of truth is like a telescope that gives you the ability to see into the glory of God. It passes the religion. You want to keep yourself pure? You want to keep yourself clean? You rightly divide the word of truth. That's how you do it. And there are people today, they're in their religious world. They're Christian. It's not that people don't know about Christ. It's not that they don't believe he went to the cross and died and was buried and raised again. It's the religion that's associated with it. I mean, why would a preacher stand in front of his congregation and tout the fact that you're to follow Jesus and preach about Jesus Christ after the flesh, and he knows good and well nobody can follow Christ after the flesh, because guess what? He's not doing it. And then he avoids 2 Corinthians 5, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we him no more. Money is the root of all evil. The love of money, rather, is the root of all evil. And that's what they're pursuing. That's what they're pursuing. If you want to know God, which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, you have got to rightly divide the word of truth. There's no other way about it. No other way. You can get your bicycle. You can get your white shirt, your plaid black pants, rather, black pants with your little tie, and you can ride around every subdivision here knocking on doors and telling them about Jesus Christ according to Dr. Smith, who got the revelation vision years ago. Or you can go two by two and knock on doors and tell them, we're here to witness for Jehovah. It's all religion, folks, and they've missed it. They don't know it. And you're called to come out from among them and be ye separate. And it's not that we'll have a price to pay, but it's not the most popular thing in this world, because the God of this world wants to put that message down. He's done everything he could to destroy the truth of God, which is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Well, if y'all have the truth, why aren't you bigger? If y'all have the truth, why aren't there thousands of people at your church? Because thousands of people don't want it. Let's just get down to the core of it all. People don't want the truth. The truth don't make you feel good unless you want it. Medicine on a cabinet does you no good till you take it. You don't want to get well, you're going to leave that medicine on the cabinet. You don't want the truth, you're going to leave rightly dividing on the cabinet. They don't want it. They keep the tradition. Mama and daddy went there, my family goes there, and that's where I'm going. And they go religiously. Ooh, religiously. And they sit there, and they don't care about the message. They'll listen to the little pick-me-ups, psychological stuff, because we all want to hear the preacher get up there and tell them, now, when you get to your office Monday, you just tell them, I heard a message, and Jesus loves you. And if he loves you, then he loves me. And why don't you come to my church and give? It's all about the money, folks. All about the money. And these people don't have wisdom about the God that saved mankind through Jesus Christ. They don't have the wisdom that would fit in a thimble. Look what Paul said in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. This is written, when Paul wrote Philippians, it was about roughly 25 years after he was saved. You think after 25 years, this dude would have it down. He'd know it all, right? Let's see if that's true. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me? That was being a Jew under the law, a Pharisee. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. The excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The only way you can get that knowledge, the excellency of that knowledge, is rightly dividing the word of truth. You want to know this God that's above the heavens? You can only know him by rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll go into doctrinal differences in the coming weeks to show you why you have got to rightly divide to get the ministry and the working of God that is to work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You've got to rightly divide to see what he does, this God, in you. Else, you'll be doing two by two to the door and riding your bike all around the country, along with a bevy of other religious practices that the gods and the host of heaven have brought to this earth in corrupting the Word of God. And that's what it's about. They want to corrupt the Word of God. They don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know it. They want to hide it. They want to corrupt it. You rightly divide the Word of truth, you educate the people. That's what Paul said, the excellency of the what? Knowledge. Knowledge is education. Paul told many of the brethren, he writes it several times in the Bible, I would not have you to be ignorant. Learn about the God that is in you. Learn about him, and it will benefit you the rest of your life. If you don't have God in you, that just simply means you haven't trusted in him. You've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you. He died for your sins, was buried and raised again, and he ascended up far above all what? Heavens. And is seated at the right hand of God in glory. And if you trust in him, that's where you're going to be. That's a pretty cool deal, isn't it? It's all done by his grace. It's nothing we have or can do. It's simply believing. And then we're to come to the knowledge of the truth to learn about our God. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time and opportunity we have to gather. We thank you for your word, rightly divided. And we thank you for the truth therein so that we can be edified and built up in Christ and know this truth and know this God, that the only vision we can have of him is out of your word, rightly divided. We thank you for those that are here once again and those that viewed and tuned in this morning, and pray that the grace that has appeared unto us will continue to stay lively within our lives day in and day out in this present evil world. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yay. Yay, Lil.